Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace Michael from Beulah Tabernacle Church, and I want to welcome you to our weekly Bible study and prayer. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. It is Tuesday, April the 13th in the year 2021, and we are grateful to God that He's allowed us to come together to come before His presence, to study His word according to His divine direction, where we are admonished to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also, the word of God admonishes us to desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The Apostle Paul spoke correctively to the saints of God at Corinth and admonished them, because at the time when he wanted to be able to feed them strong meat, they were only able to endure milk. And so it is important for us to get this word in our spirit. Your ability to endure is based upon the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the word of God that's in obedience in your life. It's one thing to know the word. It's another thing to do it. And so let's get ready to go before the Lord in prayer as we prepare ourselves for our Bible study. I want to encourage you to get your notebooks, your Bibles handy, and let's get ready to get into the Word of God. Let's bow our heads for a moment as we ask the Lord's blessings upon what we're about to do. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor you and we thank you. We glorify your magnificence. We glorify your omnipotence. We glorify your brilliance. We glorify your power. We glorify you, Father, for all glory belongs to you. Tonight we come, Lord God, with our hearts lifted with praise as we consider your goodness upon us. And now, Lord God, as we come with praise, we come in the spirit of expectation, desiring to hear from you. O bread of heaven, feed us until we want no more. Bless and strengthen, edify and inform. Let the Holy Spirit move on this line in such a way that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. We bless you now and thank you for a hope that's based upon the sure foundation of your word. And so, Father, we commit all things into your hands, thanking you for what's about to happen tonight. Thanking you for these that are here assembled. Thanking you because you are in charge and it shall be done in 21. You've given us this word. We've given it to your people. And we believe you, Lord, that you will honor it as we obey it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all again. Welcome again to our pastoral Bible study. We're going to get right into the word of God. We have been studying the word of the Lord this year from this topic, It Shall Be Done in 21, coming out of key passages of scripture, Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 through 21, which says, "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." Praise the name of God. Not only do we have Matthew 21, verse 20 through 21, we also have Romans chapter 4, verse 20 through 21, which reads on this wise, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Praise the name of God. There is another very relevant 2021 passage. And the final one is found in Ephesians chapter 3. Yes, you've guessed it. Verses 20 through 21. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We bless the name of God and thank him because God has shared this with us. He has put this within our spirit, and it is so important that you understand this, because with this understanding, you will know exactly what to do. It shall be done in 21. At this point of our year, being in the month of April, we are dealing with the doctrinal foundation. A sure foundation. The word of God in 2 John verse 9 says, transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. In other words, if you transgress and do not line up with the doctrine of Christ, there's a spiritual problem. He that abideth in the doctrine, although he has transgressed, he hath both the Father and the Son. It is important that you understand. It's one thing to transgress. It's another thing to stay in transgression, because the Holy Spirit will bring conviction for correction. When the Holy Spirit convicts, he doesn't convict to condemn. He convicts to correct. It is to bring you to the place God wants you to be, not to push you into a space where sin abounds and destruction is the end result, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, does not give heed and obey the doctrine of Christ, has not God. That's what the word says. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And so this is why you must understand, therefore, what are the doctrines of Christ? We did, in a previous lesson or two, go through some of the details concerning the doctrines of Christ and the doctrines of the apostles. And we showed you through scripture that the doctrines of Christ are the same doctrines of the apostles. That word doctrine means teaching. And so the teachings of Christ are the same teachings as the apostles taught, because Christ was their teacher. They were faithful to the teachings of Christ. And the Bible says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Excuse me. And so it is important for us to understand that we must not take doctrine lightly. We're living in a day and an age where people are dismissing it. People are minimizing it. People are saying that doctrine is the teachings of tradition, and traditions are the ways of dead people. But I've got news for you. You need this solid foundation. This is a sure foundation. It will strengthen your relationship with God, and it will cause you to walk in a way that pleases God. Let's go in. We've went through this list, and for those that are listening and may not be able to view this, I'm going to read what's on the screen so that you can benefit from it. We are dealing with the seven essentials of holy living. This is essentially part three, I believe, now, concerning what we must do. When we talked about these essentials of holy living, we spoke about the things that we must believe, which is the doctrines of Christ. The doctrines of Christ speak of what we must believe. And so that was part one. Part one dealt with Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And so we talked about what we must believe. It's very important to understand that our faith must be in God's word. The doctrines of Christ, excuse me, was part one. And again, It dealt with the teaching out of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And that, again, speaks to what we must believe. We must believe these doctrines of Christ to have life in the Holy Spirit. Now, part 2 is dealing with what we must do in order to have life in the Holy Spirit. Because believing is one thing. James says, thou believest that there is one God, the devils believe also and tremble. But he says, what about you? What happens with your faith? If you believe, then you've got to have faith, because faith without works is dead. So we've got to have a response. That response is the action. It is what we do. It's not what we believe with our heads, what we believe in our hearts, what we believe in our minds. We must take that belief, turn it into action that lines up with the Word of God. This is why this teaching is very important and very relevant, even for such a time as this. We're now, we had a list of 7 essentials of holy living, what we must do as a part of the doctrines of Christ and the doctrines of the apostles. And so we are at number, we were in the list of 7, but we're actually now at number 7. Number 7, we're going to continue from last week's lesson, is praising God. It deals with the praise life. You've got to understand that as a Spirit-filled believer, the Lord has delivered you. You need to, my God, I just felt something there even as I said that. The Lord has delivered. The Lord has set free. The Lord has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have got so much to give God thanks about. We've got so much to praise God for. And our tongues must not be used as an instrument of sin or an instrument of evil. Our tongues, our speech must line up with God's word. And so what do we need to do? We need to put the word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against him. You can sin with your mouth just as much as you can sin in your actions. You can sin with your mouth just as much as you can sin with your thoughts. And so it is imperative for us to understand what the Lord expects of us as it relates to the praise life. I'm going to ask you that are on the line with us to begin to enter in the chat and take verses so that we can be prepared to go through. And please make sure that you chat to everyone so that everyone can see who has what and what is left. Thank you, Sister Tinley. You took the Philippian passage. I need people to volunteer for the Matthew, for the Psalms, and for Habakkuk and 1 Thessalonians. I need some readers for those areas, and I'm going to ask you to step up real quick so that we can keep this moving. Again, Matthew chapter 12, Psalms 34, Habakkuk chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've got quite a bit of people on the line. I need you all to be snappy tonight. Let's move it. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's go. Let's go. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Very good. Again, please make sure you send me the message with everybody to see it, not a direct message, because that means that people will not see what you have selected. Thank you so very much. Okay. Matthew chapter 12, Brother Paul, Junior Deacon Austin, please go for that. And then right after that, Sister Claudia has got Psalms 34. I need someone for Habakkuk. Oh, Sister Fowler, God bless you. First Thessalonians, Brother Dale, amen. Sister Tinley has got Philippians. Amen. We're going to read and then share commentary. Let's begin. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36.
But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words, thou shalt be condemned.
Amen. Amen. It is important for you to understand how critical your words are. Your words play a critical role, not just for now, because you shall have whatsoever you sayeth, but your words will play a critical role in terms of eternity. For by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Every idle word, words that people let slip out of their mouth with no regard, words that people say without any thought of the consequence or the impact to those that are listening. Words that are said that have no thought, even in terms of, well, am I really saying what I mean? Is this really a clear expression of what I'm dealing with? Idle words, words that have no discretion, words that exhibit no care, words that are useless, words that are a waste of time, idle words. And the scriptures caution us, because words are powerful. And when you waste your words, you have no idea the damage that you're doing. Wasteful words will result in trouble in a person's life. And the trouble may not happen immediately, but just as your words go out of your mouth and they don't return void, believe you me, when you open your mouth to speak a thing, you're sowing something that's going to bear fruit. And so you must be careful, because you will eat the fruit of your mouth. You will eat the fruit of your words. By your words, careless words, even careless words, you are going to give an account, because those words are going to come back. There will be a time of reckoning, and you will have to stand before God in the future, and you may even deal with consequences presently because of the words that come out of your mouth. Be careful. Your words can either save you, or your words can bring you to condemnation and death. Be very careful with the words that come out of your mouth. This is why the praise life is so crucial. Let's go on to Psalm 34, verse 1, please. You may have to unmute. I believe the unmute feature is *6. There.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. They ended the first one of Psalm 34.
Amen.
The glory.
Amen. You have to understand, you need to give God a praise every chance you get. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is not just an act that happens on occasion. The idea of continual speaks of, despite the circumstances, not taking into account the flavor of the month. It does not matter what the circumstances are. Does not matter what I feel. Does not matter what I think. I will give God a praise. There's an aroma to praise. There is a sweet smelling savor unto God, the fruit of our lips. There's something about fresh fruit that even before you bite into it, it gives off a smell. It's an attractive smell. It's a fragrant smell. It's a smell that draws you to it. It is a smell that entices you for it. It's something to be desired. And the praise that comes out of your mouth is something that God desires. He inhabits the praises of his people. He wants you to give him praise because he's worthy of your praise. Your praise is a recognition of appreciation. It's not by what you by what you think, it's by what you say. And of course, it's connected to what you do. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so for praise to come out of your heart, what the scriptures presume is that your heart is right with God. James tells us that when you talk about the mouth and what comes out of the mouth, that, you know, you can't have bitter water and sweet water come out of the same fountain. It does not even, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And I know that we talk about bittersweet moments where there's a combination of the two experiences wrapped up in one, or the two feelings wrapped up in one experience. But James asks the question, you know, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. He said, this ought not to be. And so although you may have what you may consider a bittersweet moment where in one event you experience two feelings, when it comes down to what comes out of your mouth, James says that that's an oxymoron, that is not even supposed to be. When you go to a fountain, it doesn't give sweet water and bitter water out of the same fountain. And so, you know, even a fig tree won't bear olive berries. And, you know, a vine won't bear forth figs. And so you've got to understand that no fountain gives salt water and fresh. So it's important that when you talk about your mouth, let's understand, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, this is the Gospel of John, chapter 7, around verse 38, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, this living water is evidence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. John goes on to say, but this spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. So the waters that spring out of a believer ought to be waters of life, not waters of death. And so when I bless him at all times, I speak well of him. And it is uncomely for ungodly words to come out of a believer's mouth. It doesn't become the believer. Let's go on. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18.
Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
This passage of scripture is a very powerful passage because it speaks to us concerning no matter what I face, I'm going to give God praise. No matter what I face, circumstances may become adverse. And the prophet Habakkuk, he speaks to us about the trees not blossoming, no grapes on the vine, the olive crop failing, the fields lie empty and barren, the flocks dying in the fields, the barns are empty where they're supposed to be cattle. All of these things profoundly speak of the things that the Hebrews, the Israelites, were so dependent on. They were people of the field. They were farmers and they were husbandmen. They dealt with the land. The land was everything to them. Even with regards to wells and water, wherever there was water is generally where the people of God were found. And they even dug wells and God blessed them with water. So the ground was crucial to their survival. Hear me. The ground and the cattle, the livestock and the field, the crops, were still, they were germane to their survival. if there was a problem with those things, their lives would be on the line. But yet, the prophet Habakkuk uses those very extreme circumstances of drought, of death, even in the face of famine. And he says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'm going to shout victory. Glory to God. My God, somebody need to put that in your notes. I'm going to shout victory. And this is powerful, because in verse 17, it paints a picture of defeat. Because a lot of what is going on in verse 17 has to do with the efforts of a person, the fruit of their hands, the things that they do, how they work the field, how they take care of the animals. You know, these are things where they have put an effort into it. And despite the effort and the complete antithesis of what their expectation would be, you don't plant out in a field and don't expect a crop. You don't take care of your animals and don't expect to be able to glean something from them, whether it's wool or milk or meat, whatever it is. You expect that there's something that you're going to glean from this. And Habakkuk says, even when my efforts seem to have failed, even after I've done everything I could to bring everything to pass, he says, I'm going to rejoice. Empty barns, I'm going to rejoice. Barren fields, I'm going to rejoice. No blossom on the trees, I'm going to rejoice. No grapes on the vine, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to make my focus my God, and I'm going to shout victory because of my salvation. It's interesting that in one translation, it says, I will take heart and gain strength. I run like a deer. I feel like I'm a king on the mountain. And this is a incredible response to perhaps a devastating experience. Let us take hope. This is what God wants us to do. When my heart within me is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Let's go on to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16.
Rejoice evermore.
There are passages of scripture that are two-word verses. One of the most famous ones comes from the commentary on the Lord's behavior. When Jesus was at the gravesite of Lazarus, the Bible simply says Jesus wept. And many have found tremendous solace in those two simple words that speak profoundly of the heart of Jesus as it relates to his friend Lazarus. It shows us an aspect of him, of a man that oftentimes people would equate with weakness, but it was his heart that was affected. It didn't indicate weakness. It showed us that he had a heart. Paul speaks to us using two words. Now, Paul didn't break out the verses. He wasn't there when they took the verses of the letter, took the letter and broke it out into chapters and broke the chapters out into verses. But in the mind of God and in the economy of God, how we got our King James Version, this two-word exhortation has just as much power and impact, because although the one that we are more common with gives us an insight into the heart of Christ, this one will give us an insight into the heart of the believer. Can you rejoice evermore? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Don't ever stop rejoicing. This is the way God wants you to be in Christ, knowing that you're alive. Oh my God. Somebody just needs to write that down in your notes. I rejoice because I'm alive. I rejoice because I am alive. This is what God wants me to do, no matter what happens. No matter what happens. And this is more than optimism. Because sometimes the optimist is optimistic because that's their disposition. And they are just a positive person. Well, some people that get the Holy Ghost didn't start off as positive folks. And so it's not about optimism in this case. In this case, it's about faith. Because I am rejoicing based upon my faith. Your disposition of praise has everything to do with your attitude toward faith. Do you really have faith? And then if that answer is yes, then rejoice evermore is a delight. You don't have to force it. It'll just come. As a matter of fact, Paul didn't just say this to the saints of God at Thessalonica. He wrote to the saints at Philippi. And when he wrote to the Philippians, he said what's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. We just read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And now we're going to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Sister Tilly.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice."
Rejoice in the Lord. I want to change that word rejoice and replace it with celebrate. Celebrate. Celebrate the Lord always. And again, I say celebrate. When you believe God and take him at his word, your celebration is not contingent upon the actions of anyone. I'm talking to somebody right now that needs to be at peace. The Holy Spirit is saying you can be at peace when you celebrate the Lord. Celebrate him. Celebrate him. He's faithful. Celebrate him. He knows all things. Celebrate him. He's working it out for your good. Celebrate him. He has the last say. Celebrate him. Every good and perfect gift comes down from him. As a matter of fact, his word is his promises. All of his promises are yes and amen in Christ. They are yea and amen. Whatever God's word says, beloved, we must believe him, take him at his word, and allow that word to affect our doing. It's not enough for the word to be in your head. The word has got to be in your heart so that you won't sin against him. There's some people that's got a lot of word in their head, but they don't have that much word in their heart, because the heart is going to disclose where a person is. Out of the heart flows the issues. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Woo! The issues of life. And Proverbs says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Solomon says, put away the froward mouth and perverse lips. Put it far from you. I need somebody to look that up and drop that in the chat. It's in Proverbs. It talks about the keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And it speaks to what happens. You can't be talking out of both sides of your mouth. And there's some people that do that. They talk out of both sides of their mouth. They get in stuff, and their mouth just goes in places their mouth ain't got no business. And so the wisdom of Proverbs admonishes the believer, admonishes all who will read it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. God bless you, Sister Melanie. Thank you. Somebody, you should make a note of that, because you need wisdom to guide your doing. You need wisdom to guide your actions. You need wisdom to guide your actions. A froward mouth is a mouth of a person difficult to deal with. Contrary. God bless you. God bless you, Lady Michael. Amen. Amen. Look in the chat for those that are on the Zoom call right now. Amen. I'm grateful to God for those that are on the line, adding a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Praise the name of God. Amen. We're going to go on, because I know that we have to be mindful of our time. So we just completed the seven essentials to holy living. Again, what we must do, based upon Acts chapter 2, verse 42, verse 45 through 47. Again, the seven essentials of holy living. What we must do, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and verses 45 through 47. We talked about the doctrines of Christ, which are the doctrines of the apostles. That's number one. We talked about fellowship, which is number two. Breaking of bread, communion, number three. Number four is prayers. Number five is parting their possessions or giving. Number six is going house to house or hospitality. And number seven was praising God or the praise life. And so tonight we've completed that, and we're going to open up the lesson on Acts chapter 2, verse 42, fellowship expanded. Fellowship expanded. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. They continued steadfastly. This, what goes on in verse 42, to a great extent, talks about this communication amongst believers. What they did in terms of the doctrine of the apostles, because the doctrines of the apostles reflect how you act toward God and how you act toward man. The fellowship is the key I'm going to focus on, the fellowship aspect. There's two levels of fellowship: fellowship amongst believers and fellowship with God. Tonight, we're going to start with the aspect of fellowship amongst believers. We're going to expand on what we've shared concerning fellowship. It is important to note that all Holy Ghost-filled believers are one body. The body of Christ is not divided. Oh, yes, I need some readers for this set. I didn't see anybody pick anything yet. And so I need readers for this set. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. I'm going to read this again for the benefit of those who are listening but not able to see this. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. That's the A point. The B point is Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 through 26, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 through 21. That's point B. Point C is Matthew 18, verse 15 through 35. That's point C. Point D, as in Delta, is Luke chapter 17, verse 3 through 10, and Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Communication among believers, the A, B, C, D points. Number two, we're talking about maintaining fellowship amongst the saints. It's not enough to establish communication. Communication and fellowship must be maintained. This is number two. Fellowship must be maintained amongst the saints. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6 is the first verse there. And Matthew chapter 18, verses 15, 16, and 17, we'll have a little further exposition on that. Again, maintaining fellowship amongst the saints is crucial. It's not enough to establish it. It must be maintained. And that point, the verses for that point are Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, and Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, verse 15, then verse 16, and then verse 17. Praise the name of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse number 5. I need readers right away. It will be helpful to do it from the top-down perspective. So we can get things moving. I'm going to read so we don't lose any time. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Now, this again is the first point under fellowship expanded. This first point speaks of communication amongst believers. The first verse is Romans chapter 12, verse 5. I'm going to need, I got someone for Deuteronomy. I need someone for Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. I'm going to begin by reading Romans chapter 12, verse 5. It says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." We must remember that no matter what the gifting is, because Romans chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts, no matter what the gifting is, it is important to understand that although we are many members, a body is made up of more than one part. For example, you've got the fingers, you've got the wrist, you've got the hand, you've got the elbow, you've got the arm, you've got the forearm, you've got the shoulder, you know, and that's just talking about the dynamics of the arm. You've got the foot, you've got the toes, you've got the ankle, you've got the shin, you've got the knee, you've got the thigh. And so even a leg is made up of many parts. And so we've got to understand, Paul is saying that although we are many members, nevertheless, we are one body. We are one body, and that we must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. We must never forget that as it relates to the church, we are one. We are one. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30, please.
How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up?
When we are united, victory can be achieved. When we are divided, we cannot help but lose. One can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight because we are depending on God. God is the sustainer. And it doesn't matter what the adversity is that's around us. When God is with us, who can be against us? And God operates in unity, where there are two or three gathered together, touching and agreeing. There am I in the midst of them. He operates in unity. He does not exist in chaos. He's not the author of confusion. He dwells in the spirit of unity. And when we are united, our victory cannot be denied. This goes for a church. This goes for a family. This goes for a marriage. Where you are united, you cannot be stopped. Let's go on quickly. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. This is point number one.
Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
There is a major disconnect with a lot of believers that just because we have the Holy Ghost, that we can't have feelings. And that if we have feelings, that somehow we have fallen from grace. How far removed is that from the reality that we experience when we understand grace? God's grace operating in us, it sustains us, it strengthens us. But even in the midst of grace, there could still be tears. In the midst of grace, there can still be this feeling of heaviness. Oh, God. See, some people don't understand that just because we speak in tongues, it doesn't mean that we don't go through stuff. The child of God goes through. We have, you know, we've got a treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellency may be of God and not of us. This is what the Apostle Paul says. And he wants people to understand that although we preach Christ, that there are times when we're persecuted. There's times when there's trouble that seems to just envelop us. There's times when we feel cast down, bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I mean, there are feelings attached with this. And so when the scripture speaks to us and it tells us this, you know, it's not in a vacuum. The Lord is not, he's not asking us to ignore or push aside the things that we're dealing with. So, yeah, okay, go ahead and be angry. But don't use your anger to fuel revenge. Don't let your anger affect your behavior. Do not allow anger to turn into immorality, injustice, or anything that's ungodly. Don't let anger turn into sin. Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't let anger turn into sin. Be angry and sin not. The other thing about this verse that's powerful, don't, you know, if you're going to be angry, okay, don't let it last until the day is done. Anger can turn into bitterness. If you don't check anger, anger will spread. If you do nothing with your anger, nothing will, you won't, it won't stop by itself. It doesn't automatically stop. It takes more space. Anger spreads. And so you can be angry, but don't sin. And even in terms of how long you allow yourself to stay angry, the scriptures give guidance. The scriptures give wisdom. The scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the day come to an end and you have not addressed your emotions. Mm-hmm. All right. We're at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. And I see we're going to have to stop here. And we're going to have to come back because I need to give time for prayer. We will come back and we will deal with the second point under communication amongst believers from Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 through 26. That's where we will pick up next time if the Lord tarry. We'll pick up there in Jesus' name. I need to give pause because we shed a lot tonight as it relates to the way you must do. And as I said, this is a part of the teaching of the doctrines of Christ, where it means what we must do, not just what we must believe, not just what we must say, but what we must do. And so to be able to maintain the kind of spirit that God wants us to, we've got to abide in the doctrine. If we do not abide in the doctrine, then we are spiritually affected. The scripture says that you don't have God. No one who continues to remain in the teaching of Christ will be without the Father and without the Son. You will have it. But anybody who wanders away from this, it shows a level. It shows what level your relationship is with God. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrines of Christ, does not have relationship with God. This is what John says. John's words are strong words. And you've got to understand it's not meant to condemn. It's meant to correct. This is what I said in the very beginning. The word of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord, is designed to bring correction for those that will accept it. Everybody won't accept correction. And when they don't accept correction, you'll see it in the behavior. When they do accept correction, you'll see that in the behavior. Matter of fact, a tree is known by its fruit, not by its leaves. It is either praised or it's judged based upon fruit. We're going to pause because I think this is a time for prayer. The Lord is speaking to hearts concerning, and tonight I want to use this theme, corrective action. Corrective action, because the Holy Spirit wants us to take corrective action, not to live in condemnation, because if you live in rebellion to the word of God, you have no choice but to live under condemnation. But when you accept the word of God, it's corrective. It's corrective. I will make the darkness light. What is wrong, I'll make it right. Every battle, every struggle, every challenge that comes up against you, I will fight it. Whew. And those things that are over your head, out of your reach, that are yet affecting you, your high places, I'll bring it down. We're going to ask the representative from the brotherhood, from the sisterhood, and from the youth to come at this time and lead us in prayer in Jesus' name. Let the prayer leaders come.
Oh God, we thank you tonight. We praise you and we glorify you, Lord God. This is certainly the day that you have made, Lord God, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad and we thank you tonight, Lord God, in your mighty name, Lord, that we can accept correction, Lord God, and in the name of Jesus. It is not your will that any of us should perish but come to repentance. So, Lord, if there's anything we've done, anything we've said, anything we've thought, Lord God, that wasn't pleasing to you, Lord God, forgive us right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Allow your blood to cleanse our sin, Lord God. And even though they may be as scarlet, Lord God, because of the blood you shed upon Calvary, Lord God, hallelujah, your blood will make our sins as white as snow, and they will be put into the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. Your word tells us to cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, Lord. Lord, if we are angry with somebody, Lord God, let us not sin, Lord God. We can be angry. Your word tells us to be angry and to sin not. That even in that anger, Lord God, there is forgiveness. Even in that anger, there'll be reconciliation. Even in that anger, Lord God, we can come together and make peace, Lord God. We just say thank you tonight, Lord God, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word tells us and shows us what to do, Lord God. And Lord, help us to live by your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help us to live holy, Lord God. Help us to live, Lord God, because we are in the last days, Lord God. You are coming back for a church, for your church, without spot or wrinkle, Lord God. And we are not living right if we're drinking and sleeping around and cursing and doing these filthy things, Lord God. We won't make the rapture. We'll be left right here to face the tribulation and the great tribulation. And what an awful time that's going to be, Lord God. So whatever we need to do, Lord God, show us what we need to do to come to be repentance. If we need to forgive, Lord God, show us who we need to forgive, Lord God. First, even forgiving ourselves, Lord God. Whatever we need to do to get our lives right, Lord God. Open our eyes. Most of all, open our hearts to hear from you, to hear from heaven, Lord God. That we may live right in your sight, Lord God. We say thank you tonight for loving us. Continue to love us. Continue to strengthen us. Continue to guide us, Lord God. Strengthen us, Lord God, in your word. We should be reading your word every day. We should be praying to you and communicating with you every day, Lord. So help us, Lord, in the area of our needs, Lord God. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor and the praise, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Oh God, Yeshua. Lord God, I come before you with holy nothing, and my all is on the altar. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to thine loving kindness. Hallelujah. Have your way in our lives, O God. Lift us up where we're supposed to be. Father, Lord God, I love you. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Father, Lord God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that corrects and not condemn. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, we ask you to correct us in the areas where we are wrong. Father, Lord God, search us, Lord God. Come here, Shana. Make us what we want to be in you, Lord God. Bring down every stronghold and lift us up where we're supposed to be. Father, Lord God, we want to follow the apostles' doctrine that we may please you. That is our desire, that we please you. Hallelujah. Have your way in our life, Lord God. We lean and depend solely upon you. Hallelujah, Lord God. Every word that comes out of our mouth, hallelujah, let it be pleasing in thine sight. Lord God, let us be alert to the things that we say and even the things that we think. Hallelujah. Let it be holy, for thou art holy. Hallelujah. Have your way in our lives, Father. Oh, we humble ourselves in thine presence, Father. Hallelujah. No matter what the circumstances, Lord God, we will give your name praise because thou art worthy. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, we are your people, Lord God. We call upon your most holy name. Bless each everyone that's on this line, Lord God. You know what we stand in need of. Hallelujah. Work it out in our life. Deliver us and set us free, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, how many yesanamaya? Some of us are hurt, Lord God, and wounded. But Lord God, we ask you to heal the wounds, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God, because we desire to live for you. Hallelujah. Sometimes things come in and it hurt us, Lord God. But Lord God, you know the hurt. Heal us, Lord God, where we're hurting, that we live according to your word, because our desire is to live for you. Father, Lord God, hurt, Lord God, hurt, hallelujah. Work it out, Father. Work it out, Lord God. We bring it before thine altar. We don't hold anything before you. Hallelujah. But Father, Lord God, we ask you to intercede and work it out. Come on, Yasha. Lord God, do it, Lord God. We give you the glory for it right now. We do magnify your name, Lord God. We do glorify your name on this line. Hallelujah. Bless your people, Lord God. You know what we stand in need of. Look at me. Walk by. Hallelujah. The families, Lord God, that are going through situations, even situations of healing that needs to take place physically. Oh God, we ask you to intercede, Lord God, and we praise you in advance for it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you this very moment. Hallelujah. And we take nothing for granted. Come, my Shama. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you right now, and we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Come here. We pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come and listen.
First, God, we want to ask you for forgiveness for anything we have done or did that wasn't right. Now, God, we want to ask that you bless Bishop Michael and his family. Thank you, God, for putting that wonderful word on Bishop's heart. Bless everyone on this line. God, help us to watch our mouth. Help us watch our mouths, watch what we say, so we don't anger you with our words. And I pray that it shall be done in 21. Amen.
Father, we thank you tonight for the heart of your people. We thank you, Lord God, for revealing your heart. We thank you, Lord God, that you abide in this space. And Lord God, we receive your word to give no place to the devil. Lord, I thank you that the devil doesn't win tonight, but you win. And the victory that you have is a victory that we have. Oh God, for the battle belongs to you, but the victory belongs to us. I thank you for your people. I thank you that the word is taking precedence. I thank you, Lord God, for corrective actions. Hey, God, breathe on your children as we embrace your word. We know, Lord God, that your word is spirit and it is truth. You give us what we need to live. Life is in your word. Healing is in your word. Deliverance is in your word. We bless you now. You have not held it back from us. We will hold it not back from your children. You have given us the revelation of your word. You have given us the transparency of your word. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And all that means is that your word penetrates the heart. It searches the soul. It goes in to find the area of need and it ministers grace. Your word gives strength. Your word gives hope. Your word results in praises emanating from your people. And tonight we will not leave this call with heaviness. We will not leave this call with fear because we love you so much. We love you into victory. Lord, the victory, the love you gave us has brought us to victory. The love you have shown us has given us a peace that's beyond comprehension. The love that you have shown us has shown us how to live. Your love has shown us how to walk uprightly before you. I thank you right now. It's time to apply your word, not just to know it, to memorize it, not just to sing about it, to rejoice over it, but Lord God, I'm thankful right now because I see that your word embraces your child. And as your word embraces us, and as we yield to your embrace, your word transforms us. Oh God, your word secures us by where we stand. Your word shields us. Oh God, no matter where we're going, and your word embraces us so that we are never alone. I thank you that no matter what we go through in life, Lord, you're there. Your word is there with us, and you are your word. You are your word, and you are one. And tonight we thank you that you have spoken to us through your word. You have given us direction for holy living. It's not just about church attendance. It's not just about positions and rank and things that we do in the church as members, ministers, and ushers, and teachers, and worship leaders, and musicians, and all those things. Those things are great, but it's the word that makes the difference. The word that abides, the word that guides, the word that we embrace, and the word that transforms us in the embrace. And tonight I speak this word over your people, that we are transformed by the embrace of your word. We will not resist it. We will accept it, and we thank you that through the power of your word, we can live soundly. We can embrace the doctrinal teachings of Christ. We can embrace the doctrinal teachings of the apostles, and we can be sound Christians, sound in our thinking, sound in our interpretations, sound in our deliberations. We can exhibit soundness, wisdom, stability, consistency, health, growth, vitality. Oh God, I pray these blessings now over your precious people. And I thank you that we have been together tonight in your presence to receive your word. We thank you that your corrective action will take us higher and higher and higher in you. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.